So good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are. Welcome to Lifecoach Training for the October 2015 cohort. This is Coach to Coach 4 with Group A, and this is our third class. And I'm Beth Barnes. We're going to be together for the next 90 minutes. So, yeah, welcome, everybody. This should be fun. So before we get started, what we'll do is I just want to know what questions you have, if there's things that have been coming up with your coaching. You can, you know, ask away. This is a wonderful time to ask. What we'll be doing is really doing this little Q&A if you have questions. Then I'll do a mini grounding meditation, and then we'll start off with the coaching so that you can get as much time as possible. And we'll get two pairs in today and maybe a third. It just depends. What I'll do is I won't interrupt unless you ask me to, and I will, unless there's something that I want to sort of jump in and say, hey, this is really good, or hey, take a look at this, or this, you know, this a great teaching moment, I'll jump in. But otherwise, I won't unless you ask me to, and if you get stuck, it's perfect. You can just ask if you get stuck. So what's happening with your coaching? What are your questions? What do you, you know, what would you, anywhere you're getting stuck or just that you want to share?
Bev, it's Jerry. And
yeah,
it's not that I'm stuck and it's not a client situation. It's just something that I went afterwards to dig into, and I'm a little confused. After we discussed in class the four distinct styles of action, at the time, didn't go online and assess which was mine. And when I tried to, it was asking for like a $69 fee. And I thought, geez, how am I supposed to really assess which one is mine without paying $69? And then how do you really work with your clients to, you know, a lot of times on the calls, I heard some of the instructors say, well, if you know your client is a fact finder, you know, then you would, you know, address it this way. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, I'll get to that. And I just never really dug in until recently. And now I'm wondering about those questions I just shared.
Okay, so about the cognitive style, and you want to find out about how do you find out about a client's cognitive style without having them take the test, and about your own without you taking the test?
Yeah, without paying the $69. Yeah, I must have, did I miss something? Was there something that's a quick free assessment, you know?
So I'm trying to remember whether there's a free part and then you pay for the results, but I'm not sure. But Martha Beck, I know that we have a discounted rate. If anybody else on the call has done it and know anything about that, just speak up.
Yeah, it's Heather. I've done it, and I got a discounted rate, and I can't quite remember where the link was, but I'm happy to look afterwards. There was some code or link that you put in, and if my memory serves me correct, it was more like $30 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, Heather, was there any way that you're able to then, with some information, quickly assess, or not quickly, but, you know, assess where your client is at, or is it any learning on that?
Jerry, I can answer that for you.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, the test itself, you can. I know the link is on your learning site somewhere, so Heather can find that for you. Great. There's also an article that Martha wrote, so I can find that and put the link on. She wrote it actually in the O magazine, where she described the four cognitive styles. She uses animals, as always, to describe as metaphors, to describe the different cognitive styles. What happens is you can have your client read that article and see which style she resembles the most, she or he resembles the most. And you can do that for yourself, too. It's not...
Okay.
It's not accurate in the sense of the test, but it's a great self-assessment.
That sounds fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll find that link, because it's one of Martha's articles, and I'll put it up on the forum, on your discussion forum, and so you can all take a look at it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hi. Excuse me, guys. This is David. Jerry, if you go onto the forum, and just put cognitive style in the search forums part, and you go all the way down to the bottom, you see a link with Deb about a what you click onto to find the special link and everything else for that.
Oh, great. Thank you, David. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, you're welcome. Yep.
Perfect. I knew that somebody would know, that somebody who might be more of a fact finder than me. Throwing that in. Fabulous. Great question. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a sixth and a fact finder, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you can guess when it gets down to these things. You sort of guess. You start asking questions about your clients. And, you know, it is all about moving, the style of moving to action. So it's kind of fun to use when your clients are moving forward. That's when it becomes important. So other questions. What other questions do you have, or, you know, anything that you'd like to ask or share?
I'm sorry, this is David again.
I just wanted
to throw it out there to everybody that's on the call. I'm not sure who it is, but I feel like I'm jumping in a lot, and I don't want to take away any space from anybody else. I know if there is someone else out there that really would like to get coached or hasn't gotten coached or something that wants to do with Heather, I am perfectly fine for you to take my spot. Just think about that while we're listening to the very first coaching session. Thanks.
Yep. So thanks, David. The other thing I noticed, you know, I know you're muted out. So here's the people that are here that I noticed. It's David. Hi, David. I'm just going to go through my list and say hi to everybody. Heather, you're coaching, so on our second group. So hi, Heather.
Hi, Bev. And everyone.
And Jerry, you're going to be coaching too. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Bev.
And Tanya. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Bev.
And Robin, I know you're muted, so you don't have to unmute if you don't want to.
Just for a second to say hi.
Hi. Tracy, hi, Tracy.
Hi, Bev.
And hi, Rachel, you're here.
I am. I've been on vacation for the last couple weeks, so I finally made it.
I got that. So probably on our last class, you might want to coach or be coached because you haven't done many of those, have you?
Not in this session, no.
Yeah, so, well, the last class has been a couple of weeks, so that might be something to think about doing.
Okay.
Perfect. And Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. How's everyone? Hope well.
Good. I'll just answer for them. They're fine. Okay. That's everybody. On this call. Just thought you'd all want to know that team's here. So welcome, everybody. All right. So let's start. I'll do the grounding. So we'll just sort of get into being here and, you know, together. So, and after that, we'll start with the coaching. So just put your feet flat on the ground. This helps me too. Put your feet flat on the ground. And you can be standing or sitting, whatever is most comfortable. Sitting upright in a chair is always great. Put your feet flat on the ground and close your eyes. And just allow yourself to be here in this class right now. And take a deep belly breath. And as you breathe in, you're going to feel your belly rise. And as you breathe out, your belly falls. And just allow yourself to leave everything that was you were doing before this class there somewhere outside of your energy, knowing you can get back to it. And it'll be waiting for you when you're done. And just continue to take those deep belly breaths, feeling into your body. And if there's any areas of tension, just breathe into those places where there is some tension in your body. Breathe out. Let all that tension go. Now place your attention on your feet. And on the insoles of your feet. And imagine two roots, your rooted grounding cords coming out of the bottoms of your feet. And with the force of gravity, these roots go down through all the layers of the earth. So they go through the grass, the soil, and the roots spread out. Beautiful roots go through the rocks, granite, all the many layers, deep, deep, deep down, down into the central core of the earth. And your two grounding roots, they attach to the central core of the earth. It feels safe. And if your cords are uneven, just even them up in your mind's eye so that your both grounding cords are solidly attached. And just allow yourself to feel the energy of the earth. Earth energy moving up your grounding cords. And check into your body, your knees and your stomach and your chest, any areas of tension, and allow them to roll up and roll down your body. And be recycled by the earth. Now place your attention once more on your breathing. Where you're sitting or standing, surfaces that are touching your bum or your arms or your back. And when you're ready, open your eyes and return to the room, to this group. Wonderful. All right, so we're going to start out with Jerry and Tracy. So, Jerry, you're the coach, and Tracy, you're being coached.
Okay. Thank you, Bev. Hi, Tracy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Jerry. I'm pretty good.
Great, great. Well, Bev did such a wonderful job of grounding us. I think, can start right in and do some coaching if you're ready.
Yeah.
Great. What would you like to discuss today? Do you have something that's troubling you or something exciting that you want to discuss?
I have something that's troubling me.
Okay.
And I'll tell you about it. So I live in Los Angeles. I live in a particularly hot part of the city. And we're having record-breaking temperatures, like almost every day. And it's starting way earlier than it normally does. So I grew up here, and this is, like, extreme. And so I am also going through menopause. And one of the things that instigates a lot of discomfort for me is heat. So I'm not only dealing with an extremely hot summer, I'm dealing with an amplified hot summer because of the stuff that's going on with my body. And so I am constantly sleep deprived. Because it's really hard for me to sleep in the heat. And I can't afford to run my AC 24/7, which is probably what I would do. But even then, for me to be really comfortable, it has to be like 68 degrees. So I am constantly struggling with not having sleep. And what happens is, because I sleep so bad, like I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning 3 days in a row and not be able to go back to sleep. And so what happens is I'm very lethargic the next day. I can't take naps. I mostly work at home, so you would think that would be a solution, but it's not, because for whatever reason, I can't get myself to take a nap. So I have entered into, for the second year in a row, a really stressful cycle of not getting enough sleep, feeling lethargic, and then not getting enough work done. And I'm sort of, and I'm also like, I have done like all the things you're supposed to do. I know about sleep hygiene. I know about food you should eat. I've tried like everything I could think of. You know, I've had friends advise me. I've tried so many different things, and I just feel so frustrated because it's going to be really hot for the next 3 months, and I can't get away from it. So that's my problem, and it's really stressful.
Well, I'm really sorry it's that hot out there, and it sounds like you are in a great deal of discomfort. So tell me more about the discomfort that you're experiencing and what emotions, you know, you feel when you are feeling that discomfort of the sleep deprivation.
Okay. When I wake up in the morning at 3 o'clock, I'm really tired, and I sort of have to, I feel like, oh, now I have to brace myself for a very long day where I know I'm going to be tired. And I know what's coming with that. Meaning, you know, I feel like I'm trying not to feel defeated. Because I know I'm going to be tired. This is what happens.
So when you're having that feeling of I'm trying not to feel defeated, what's going on in your body?
Well, I have two things. I have emotionally an emotional draining feeling. And then I also, you know, the two sort of are coming together, is that I actually, like during the day, I can feel, you know, physically tired, lightheaded, you know. So I have a two-way battle going on, because I have to deal with the fact that I'm got to make sure I'm not dehydrated and I'm taking enough vitamin C and all electrolytes. So now I feel like I have a lot to deal with, because it's not only, you know, work and class and all these, you know, practical things. I have physical stuff that I have to deal with.
And
so I guess I feel frustrated. I'm frustrated.
Feel frustrated.
Uh-huh.
How do you treat yourself when you feel frustrated?
Well, I end up wanting to do something that isn't productive, like go read a book. I guess I want to avoid all these things that I feel like I can't control. So I end up reading, or, you know, I'll go listen to a podcast. I'll do things that are sort of on the periphery of doing what I really need to do.
Tracy, I have a hunch, and tell me where I'm wrong, that you're doing what you need to be doing by going and reading a book and listening to a podcast. when you are feeling frustrated and you're starting to you're telling yourself, I'm trying not to feel defeated. And tell me where I'm wrong on that.
That could be true. I mean, I think I say to myself, obviously you need to do this right now. But then on the other hand, I start feeling like all these things that need to be done will never get done. And another thing that happens is when I get upset, I've really been noticing this, I get hotter. And when I get hot, it instigates a hot flash.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So that all makes me feel like what I'm doing isn't quite right.
What isn't quite right? When you're reading a book or listening to a podcast or when you're getting upset?
When I'm getting upset. Like, you know, if I say I'm reading a book and I start thinking, wow, I'm reading a book, this is relaxing on some level, but on another level, I really should be going and checking my emails and working on this thing and doing all that other stuff.
So I understand what you're saying. And so now that you have this realization that when you start to wander after, you know, you're reading the book or listening to the podcast to what you think you should be doing, and you're realizing that you know, getting upset is making you hotter. What do you think the message to yourself is here?
That's where I get kind of confused because on one hand, I feel like doing the calming thing is probably a good idea, but on the other hand, I feel the pressure of, you know, you need to go check your email. You need to get to work because, you know, you need to make a living. So I'm at a real conflict in trying to make both of those things happen at the same time.
Okay. So how is it serving you when you start to think about those things that you should be doing? Do you get them done?
Very slowly. Definitely not in the time frame I think I should.
And have you allowed yourself to complete something that relaxes you and then go to work?
Yeah, I do. But for a really long, you know, like way longer than I think I should. Like, okay, go read for an hour. Okay, I go read for an hour. And then it's 2 hours, and then it's 3 hours, and now I feel like, wow, I just totally avoided doing that thing that I should be doing.
Okay. How have you been, from a productivity standpoint, after you've allowed yourself to relax and where you haven't gotten, upset about what you're not doing and then gone to work? Have you had that experience yet?
Yeah, I'll go do stuff. You know, then I get up and go and work. I finally feel like, okay, now I can go do it. And I don't, you know, I can be productive, but for a really short amount of time. I mean, not like a normal workday time. A couple of hours tops, then I get lethargic again and want to stop.
Okay. So is there, have you, I'm sure you've done the body compass, and you know what you've, you know, a very negative feeling on your meter is and a positive feeling on your meter is?
Right, right.
Okay. So can you go back to a time when you did something relaxing and then you started to really think about, you started to read a book or listen to a podcast, and you started to get upset, and then you got hot, thinking about what you know you should be doing. On that scale of negative 10 to positive 10, how did you feel in your body?
Uh,
Hey, Jerry, just take her back there, like just get her, really get her there. Go into that so she can really connect to the sensations. You're doing great. Just a pointer.
So Tracy?
Uh-huh.
Let's go back to a time when you were getting hot and you decided that the best thing to do was to go read a book. And you went and read that book. Can you remember a moment that you've recently done that?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's go back to the moment after you started reading the book, when you started to think about all the other things you had to do. And it was all creeping into your mind, and it was starting to build up. Can you remember that moment? Or a moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's think about what's going on in your body. What are you feeling?
I feel agitated.
Okay.
I feel it always goes to my stomach. I get a nervous stomach.
Okay. Do you feel it anyplace else in your body?
More like an antsy energy, you know, like when you see somebody's foot start to wiggle, you know, like I'm antsy. I got to get out of here kind of feeling.
Okay. So you're agitated, you're feeling it in your stomach, you've got that antsy feeling and you see it in your foot wiggling. What would you call this on your body compass between negative 10 and positive 10?
It starts at a 6 and it gets up to a 7.
It's a positive 6?
Oh, I'm sorry, negative. Negative.
Okay. Now let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And you're working, and you've gotten hot, and you went to listen to a podcast. Can you think of a time you did that when you didn't start thinking about all the things you had to do and then went back to work?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go there for a moment. You're listening to this. You're getting some great insight on this podcast. Your body temperature is really cooling off. You're really enjoying what you're listening to. What are you feeling in your body?
I just feel normal, you know. I have energy, and I feel everything is fine. I'm a little hot because it's hot, so there's like a little discomfort, but I don't feel, you know, any negative emotion about it. And the body, you know, it's okay for my body to be warm.
Okay. Are you feeling anything else in your body? Anything else that you see or feel?
No, not really.
Okay. On your body compass, you're in this moment. You're feeling normal, a little hot, but that's okay. It's hot out. You're not having any negative emotions. All is fine. What would you, on a scale of negative 10 to positive 10, what would you give this moment that where you're listening to this podcast and really enjoying it?
Between a 7 and 8, positive.
Okay. So, can you go back to that moment when you were listening to the podcast that we just discussed? Mm-hmm. You've got that great feeling. All is fine. A little hot. It's okay. And you went back to work. Can you describe how you felt when you were going back and doing that work?
Well, I have mixed feelings because part of it is that I go back to work because I have to. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock, and I have to go prepare for it at 9:30, and so I have to do it. So there's a sense of, you know, I'm feeling responsible, but I'm not really liking the job, so it's an obligation. So I feel okay. I'm not excited or happy, though.
Okay, so what are you feeling responsible for?
Well, I have a client, and I feel responsible to my commitment to working with her, and then I also have a responsibility to myself to, you know, do the work I'm committed to doing. You know, that's my paying work.
It's your what work?
It's my paying. It's what I do for a living.
Okay. I thought you said it's your paying work, and I
No. It is a little. Sometimes it is paying, but not most of the time. Quite that bad.
So. You said you're not really liking your job. Do you know what you would like about your job? If you could change something?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple clients that are very difficult. I like the job itself okay, but I have some difficult clients, and that makes it difficult. It makes me not like it. Like I have a client that I really like, and while I don't love the work, I don't feel like it's my life calling, she's so great to work for, it makes the job much more pleasurable. When I have to work with one of my more difficult clients, it can be a little torturous. And this isn't coaching. This is something completely different.
Well, do you mind if we just talk a little further about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So with your more difficult client, could you not have that person as a client any longer?
Not really. I don't have enough. I've thought about it. I don't have enough clients right now to just fire her, so to speak, and I've tried setting parameters, and she, you know, boundaries with her so that she's more respectful of my time, but she still has a certain style of working, and it's just not a match for me, and I've been told by other people that know her, she's very difficult to work with. A lot of people don't like to work with her. And I do it because I don't have enough clients to let go of her at this point.
Do you know anybody who does like to work
Gary?
With her? So you, sorry, Beverly, are you talking?
Gary, yeah. I just wanted to jump in here for a moment. So I just wanted to coffee talk with you, Gary.
Okay.
So tell me what's up. Where are you at? And is there sort of a spot where you're going at this point?
Well, I was thinking that you know, obviously I was trying to, not obviously, sorry. What I was trying to do at first was have Tracy recognize the thought that when she's trying to relax herself, oh, I'm having this thought again, and if I allow myself to relax, then I can, you know, get back to work. But then she started talking about, you know, that she doesn't like her job, and but that's not the coaching, and I thought that it was the coaching, so I was going to just kind of do the three B's with this difficult client, because it sounds like that's the one thing that, you know, she doesn't like about her job. She likes the other clients, she said.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you what I saw going on. There was you were really following and asking some really great questions and getting her to get into her body about what was going on with this, you know, her frustration with the heat and the you know, all that other stuff that was going on. And uh-huh. you were getting closer and closer to identifying and helping her to pull out what was at the root of this. And then it just seemed sort of like you moved over into what was happening with her job. So did you feel like you'd gone as far as you could go with the other stuff?
No, I wanted to circle back to it, because I just thought she made an opening by talking about how it wasn't really the productivity of the hotness. It was that she didn't really want to get back to her job, you know, because of this client.
So do you have a hunch?
Okay, yep, I have a hunch.
Yeah, so maybe, because what sort of asking all these questions, you have a hunch, you might as well throw it out to her, and then you can kind of keep going, because from listening, kind of loses the thread. So throw out your hunch, because you've got a hunch. You know, you have one, so why not use it and see whether you're on track and how this all ties together.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it took me, I had to ask some questions before I had the hunch, though, you know, because I wanted to find out about the client. Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, anything else, Bev?
Nope, I'm done.
Okay. All right, so Tracy,
uh-huh.
I'm back from my coffee break now. sorry to interrupt. Okay, Tracy, I have a hunch that you know how to relax yourself with this heat, and that what's creeping into your mind is the frustration of this client. When you think about getting back to work after you've calmed yourself down and feel cooler, like and more relaxed, tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely a part of it. It's hard to get back to work, you know, to start in again. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So you had said, oh, this isn't part of coaching. Do you feel that that's maybe the bigger issue? That you know, tell me where I'm wrong. That you know, this client is on your mind, frustrating you?
Well, you know, it's sort of a lethal combination, because I'm already tired, feeling worn down. And then I have to go do a job that I don't especially like. So if I was super energized, I would feel it would be a lot easier to do it. But starting out tired and depleted, it's hard for me to draw on my superpowers to go and deal with her.
Okay. Okay. So let's go back to what we were starting to do, and then we'll come back to this client.
Okay.
So for dealing with getting through your situation with the heat and the menopause, does it feel that possible to say to yourself when you feel yourself really getting hot and discomfort and your tiredness, that I'm going to do a relaxation. And then if you catch yourself thinking about your items to say to yourself, I'm having that thought, and I know it's better to just keep relaxing than to think about productivity. Does that feel like something that could help you through that terrible feeling of, you know, what you're having in this extreme heat and discomfort and sleep deprivation situation?
It does, and I do that. But then what happens is, you know, because I'll say, okay, go take a break for an hour, and I'll go do that. And then that hour is over, and I can't get myself to go back to work.
Okay, so at least at this point you're not hot, right? You're feeling calm, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can get through that and you can do that. So now you can't get back to work. And you agreed that it's this troubling client that is really what's at root of things, not that you're still hot and you're sleep deprived.
Well, I would say it's a combination of two things because, you know, and maybe I'm just being stubborn, but in my mind, I look at the problem and I constantly go, if I had my normal energy, I could deal with her. But being this tired, oh, God, yeah, I'm so tired and burnout and brain fog. And I just, you know, I can't or don't want to deal with her.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in right one more time here. So we're just going to go a few more minutes with you guys here, but I just wanted to point out something in this and so Jerry, just to know, there's like great feedback for you. There's lots of really good things. What I want to point out here is that what hasn't happened is we haven't got a sense of what she's telling herself. She's telling herself a story. Like, she said lots of things, and you've kind of, it seems like you've assumed that she sort of said it, but it's not been pulled. Sometimes you need to pull out of all of the stuff that she's saying, the story, the phrase, the sentence that she's telling herself that is leading to, you know, the feelings and the emotions and the actions. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's hot. That's definitely a given. Yes, it's hot. And yes, she's going through menopause. So those things are the circumstances. But what are her thoughts about the circumstance? What's your hunch about that, Jerry? Her thoughts about those circumstances that are driving this.
I feel she's avoiding the customer. I mean, the client, you know, and blaming, you know, most of her feelings on the heat and menopause and lack of sleep. And the last statement that Tracy made, I feel that's something I could do some work on. I can't and don't want to deal with her. That's what she said.
That's possible. That might be possible. You might want to look at that. Okay. So let me give you another 5 minutes. We'll do this in another 5 minutes, and then wherever we are, we'll sort of wrap up and discuss what's going on and where you're at. How's that sound?
Well, I think that's what I was wondering. It's going to take me longer than 5 minutes, so if you want to,
yeah.
I mean, wrap up here, then, you know, just starting to work on I can't and don't want to deal with her, you know, I think I would take longer than that.
Okay, so let me just back this up then for a minute, and we'll talk about this a little bit after, too. Well, first of all, I'll get you some feedback. So, and just to say, just in saying this to Tracy, you might want to continue on with this because it's not, you're like, we're just starting. It's like we're just sort of getting somewhere. That's what it sounds like. Tell me where I'm wrong. Does that feel that way with you, Tracy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's further to go. So you're not going to, we're not going to get through this. So it's just like we're just sort of peeling off the layers of the onion, and it's just starting. So this is something to get back to. So Tracy, give some feedback to Jerry. What worked for you? What did you like? What didn't work? If there was anything, let her know.
Okay. And you right now you want me to go ahead and do that?
Yeah. Just give her some feedback.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think what you're doing is great, Jerry. It's like, I know you're trying to unwind something, and I'm making it really difficult because I have like 10 different issues I'm throwing into this. I don't have a simple thing, and it's not really about another person. And I think that those are like the hardest things to deal with when it's somebody coming and saying it's just me. I could be wrong, but that's what I feel like. It's, you know, for me, when somebody says, hey, it's all about me, those things are hard to unwind. And so I think you're doing a good job of unwinding it. It is slow. And also because you don't know me, I'm not like a client you've had for a while. You have to get a whole bunch of new information from me. And so that's what you're doing. And so I'm feeling like, yep, you're going down all the right trails to do that.
So you just for you, Tracy, you said one of the things you said is I'm making it really difficult. So please don't say that. For all of you coaches on the call, please don't say you're making it difficult for the coach. Everybody always does that. And that's not that you're not. You're just expressing yourself. So what you have to do when you're the client, just be in your issue. And don't worry about, you know, helping somebody to try to figure it out. They're going to do it. They're going to get there. How did you feel when Jerry was coaching you? How did you feel in your body? What was going on for you, Tracy?
Oh, I felt like she was asking me good questions that were making me think. I felt totally comfortable. I didn't feel any discomfort about anything she was asking me. And I felt like, oh, these are good questions because they're making me think about the answers. So
perfect.
I felt good about it. I felt good about it.
That's great. Thank you. Terry, what about you? What was that like for you? What worked? What didn't work?
Well, I felt that I was doing some work in an area that I don't typically do a lot of work in, you know. And she started with the whole, you know, body sensations, right? And so I thought, okay, this is good. And I started to feel comfortable doing what I feel like I had heard I should be doing, you know, in this area, you know, from the different instructors and what the different videos. And I felt that Tracy was very easy to talk to and very she was good at also listening with the hunches and then being really honest about what she really did feel or what she really did think. So I thought she was very helpful. You know, you had said don't think you're a difficult client. She wasn't. To me, I felt like it felt like I was flowing with her. So I felt good. And you know, I feel, you know, of course you feel a little bad when you think you're straying when you were giving some of the interjections. So but I thought like I knew where I was going and how I was going to wind it around, you know. So
okay. So I'll give you some feedback from what I was hearing. I always like hearing from you as the coach and the person that was coached, because the person who was coached is like super good feedback in terms of, you know, the questioning and all of that stuff. So for me, I thought you were really, had a very great voice. You have a really nice calmness, a very sort of relaxed energy. Whether you feel it or you don't, it comes across that way, very relaxed. that you're following, that you're listening really well, and that you are asking really good questions. So I felt that you were, even when you said that you aren't used to doing stuff and asking people things about the body, you had some great questions, like when you're trying not to be defeated, what's going on in your body? That was an excellent question. How do you treat yourself when you're feel frustrated? That was an interesting question. That was actually kind of good. That was a really good question. And then she was sitting there, she was like, what? And she was trying to figure out what was going on. It was super, you're going down a path. And you were getting, and then you went into the body compass, and I just interjected to help her get into that, because whenever she answered a question about the body, she talked about what she was thinking. And so when you got her back into the body, she talked about how the physical sensations in her body. So what was happening, this is what I heard, and I just thought it was just like a little place where you lost the thread slightly. So if you look at this scenario, like the coaching framework, that there's circumstances, that there's what we think about those circumstances, there's the feelings that we have, and that leads to the action we take. When you look at this scenario, what we had with the circumstances is hot, and she's going through menopause, and then we had her feelings, she's frustrated, and her actions, sometimes I take a break, sometimes I don't. And I love the way you did the body compass around the two different activities that she did. Because you did the body compass around what she did when she didn't go back to work, and what she did when she went back to work. I think it was that, if you're tracking with me. What we didn't get is what she was telling herself. And here's my hunch. I'm not quite sure because I forgot what words it was. I don't think I wrote them down. My hunch was that there's a thought in there that we didn't pick out, and that she's telling herself, I'm hot, I'm tired. And even if she is hot and tired, my sense was in telling herself that, it started this cycle. Or there might have been something else. So there's a cycle that started for her when it was, and then on top of that, there was the client, and I don't like this work anyway, but it started a little bit sooner. So there was a thought situation, a story that she was telling herself, that my hunch is that led to a lot of these responses. And even in finding that that thought or that story that she was telling herself, there was still stuff to do because it went further than that. There was a lot of unwinding that would need to be done anyways, just to help her to get clear of what was happening, what worked for her, what didn't work for her, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make any sense to you, Jerry, me saying all of that?
Yeah, I was following you. So then you're saying what I didn't get to was what she's telling herself, that she's hot and tired,
yes.
A hot and tired story. And you're saying that would have been something to say, when you're telling yourself I'm hot and tired, would I redirect her to think about a positive thought? Is that what you're saying? Like,
that would have been the work.
Then do the work on that.
That would have been the work. Is it true? When you think that thought, what happens?
Okay.
It is hot, it's tired. But when you think about, oh, I'm tired, this is impossible, or something. I'm not sure what it was, but there was something in there. And there was a part where you said to her, hang in here, taking a look. You gave her those two alternatives about when you went through the body compass, the two alternatives that you went through, and she talked about one was a +7, +8, and the other one was a -6, -7. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What I was interested in would be with the different. That I thought that was really brilliant, because what I wanted to know was, what's she thinking when she has that +6, +7, +8 sense, and what's she thinking when she has that -6, -7 sensation? Because it's okay. That thought that she was at that -6, -7 sensation that was driving her. And so we would want to do the work on that thought.
Okay. Okay, good.
The turnaround would actually be what's going on when she has the +6, +7, +8 sensation. What are you thinking? So I've written that down in big letters. What is she thinking? What's she telling herself when she has that +7, +8 thing?
Okay.
And then she said, I do it for an hour, but then I go longer. I go into 2 hours, 3 hours, and then it feels bad. So the hour was fine. The 2 hours, 3 hours was kind of like a decoy. That was avoidance, because after the hour, then she was dealing with what was going on in thinking about her client. That's when the client thought stuck in, crept in. So she had the first thoughts about her scenario. Oh, my God, this is never going to end. 3 months, I'm going to have to deal with 3 months of this. I'm going to be tired for 3 months. I'm going to be exhausted for 3 months. This is never going to work. Something like that. She's dealing with that. And then every once in a while, she got herself out of it and realized, yeah, maybe I need a little rest. Maybe I can do as much. And she did something else, and then she had some energy. But the minute she got some energy, she then went back to it. Then she started thinking about her client. Oh, I can't do it. And then she felt bad, and then said, oh, my God, I'm going to be three or four months like this in the heat. It's going to always be like this, and oh, my God, how am I going to make money? And that's when the cycle starts again. That's what I was hearing. That makes sense?
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for clarifying what you would have done at that.
You're welcome. Tracy, does any of this resonate for you?
Yeah, it does. It's really interesting to hear you break it down like that, because as a coach, I would probably do more what Jerry did. And you were saying to, maybe I'm not right, but almost like we didn't even have to get into the whole job situation, because we could have just instead stayed. We could have stayed with the thoughts I was having about the job that made me not want to go back to work.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always the inner thing that's going on that's really driving everything. As opposed to the details around it. Usually around stuff that tell you some more stuff that really kind of that adds to the picture. But you can actually just deal with the inner story you're telling yourself. And once you actually get that, it's so hard to do it yourself. That's why it's easier with a coach. Once you actually get that, it often dissolves a lot without even moving for turnaround.
Right.
So thank you. Thanks, Jerry. Thank you for doing all of that and going through that. Thank you.
Well, thanks for all your feedback, too.
Yeah,
thanks, Deb. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Tracy, for your feedback, too, and thanks for being such an, I think, very cooperative client.
and thanks for being a coach in the exact same way I would have.
This would be a great one to listen to again, and just to listen to for what's the story she's telling herself? What's the story she's telling herself? I have this urge to ask those of you that were listening, not to coach on this, but just to throw out what your hunches were as you were listening to this. So I'm just going to ask you, this will just take a couple minutes. Did you have any hunches about, those of you that are listening, about the story that Tracy was telling herself or the thought that she was having that was causing the suffering? And you can just say your name and throw it out, and I just want to hear. We won't go any further. If you think from your point of view.
This is Heather. I have written down there was that one point where she said, I can't get away from it. And I wrote in my notes, is that true? I don't know if that would be, take us anywhere or not, but I just remember, the not being able to get away from it.
Great. Thanks, Heather. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Maria. I had a thought around when Tracy said, if I just had more energy, if I just had the energy, I could deal with my client more. And I, like Heather wrote, is that true? That somehow the thoughts around heat were just affecting all aspects of life. And I just wondered if, you know, if there was just truth to that. So that was my thought.
Yeah, if the thoughts around heat were affecting everything. Yeah, that's very cool. And, you know, the thing to do in some of these is just to pick something out and see what happens, because you really don't know what's going to happen. Go through looking at that thought with some inquiry. And if that thought, so you know when to work a thought, even if it's not the deepest, most profound thought, because you don't really have to find those. You don't have to. But you know when to work a thought is that when a person thinks a thought and they feel crappy, that means that they're telling themselves something that's a lie, something that's leading to suffering. So you'll get somewhere in there. That's great. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is David.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
No, there was a lot around the sleep deprivation part where she was sleep deprived, and I had, like, things written in there, like, she said that she can't take naps. I might have, like, worked a little bit about why she thinks she can't take naps and doing a little bit of body work on that maybe, or the fact that I'm not throwing out a hunch through that she may be feeling guilty about taking naps or trying to make herself feel better during the day.
Mm. Cool. Yeah.
And not allowing herself that time to make herself feel better.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we're kind of getting there. We're going a little bit in that direction. That's really cool. Thank you. Thanks, David.
This is Tracy, and I can come up with the idea of what if we had gone down that road and someone had asked me about what I was thinking, I probably would have said, I'm really tired and I just can't deal with this. And that's like my blanket feeling thought is, I feel so awful, I just can't deal with this. Anything.
That's it.
But especially that client. I can't deal with that.
Can't deal with this. That
would have been something.
Good thought. Good thought you need to work on. I can't deal with this.
Yeah,
love it. Thank you. And sometimes it's so odd that there's something that you're saying that covers everything that you can't see underneath it, because that what you're saying covers everything. Once you do the work, you're able to see underneath it, and there might be other places to go. Thanks, everybody. That's great. Really, it's a really cool example, because just sort of shows you when somebody's discomfort is about something they're feeling. Like sometimes people say, oh, I'm overwhelmed. That's a thought. Or it could be a feeling. And you can treat it sometimes as a thought, or you can treat it as, let's go into the body and look at this as a feeling. And sometimes when somebody's telling themselves, for example, I'm just pulling it out of the air, I'm overwhelmed, they're telling themselves something that causes them pain. And every time they say it, they start to suffer. Whether they're feeling overwhelmed or not, telling themselves that they are just jumps into the suffering. Well, those are the ones that get kind of, you know, many ways to go to look at it. All right, thank you so much. We're going to move along. And, you know, there's about a half an hour left if we go just about 5 minutes over, which we probably will. Heather, you're going to be coaching David.
Okay.
Unless there's anybody else that, as I put out there before, would like to get coached besides myself. Any takers? All right, then, Heather. Hello.
Hey, David. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good.
Let's just take, before we get started, even one moment to just really quickly get grounded and wipe the slate clean, because I know even for myself, I still have the last scenario in my mind. So let's just get back into the body for a moment. Imagine a whiteboard and there's writing all over it, and we're just wiping it clean, clean slate. And now the board is blank. And let's just take a breath or two Just start from this moment.
Okay.
Letting go of the past, the future. So, David, what is the least satisfying thing in your life right now?
I would say my wife and I recently got a realtor involved in putting our house on the market just to kind of test the market and see where we were, because we've been kind of thinking about relocating, but we don't really know where yet. It's not like we have a plan B, but it was just something we would test. And because we feel like something's coming, we're just not sure what it is yet. So we got a realtor involved, and lo and behold, you know, we set a price in our minds, and he got to that price, and we were good with that. And, you know, we had been talking a lot back and forth about where we were going to go, what we were going to do, which we didn't know, but we just wanted to see what the market was like and whether we'd get any takers or not. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, you know, he gets to the point where a day or two goes by, and he sends us the agreement and the contract for us to look over. And as we're looking over the contract, we're like, get down to the realtor fees, which we all know about. But then when we started doing the math, we realized it was like basically we were going to be giving them $20,000 to sell this house. Mm-hmm. And both of us really had a little bit of an issue with that. And I'm not sure if the issue was more about the money, or is it more about being lazy about selling the house and having to jump through all those hoops, or not really having a direction, or was it out of fear, or being lazy, or just was it the money? So I was struggled with trying to figure out what I was feeling in that time when I kind of was like, okay, let's maybe put this on the back burner for a minute and just, you know, take a breather and regroup and try to figure out what our next step is going to be. But generally when the money came in, it was a big like, didn't know if we want to give, you know, $20,000 away just to sell a house and move to, we're not sure where yet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I have been visualizing you ever since way back in a previous coaching session. You pictured yourself on the beach, and I still hold that vision for you. So I have a sense that we both know where you're going in time, right? But when? And
exactly.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is that there's a conflict of, are we ready yet? Because we don't know exactly where we're going. But at the same time, we've taken steps. And is it the money thing that's bugging us, or is it that we're not sure what the next step is? So that's sort of the conflict, the inner conflict right now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm going to scratch that and say I have a hunch that you know where you're going. It's just that fear is getting in the way of you taking the leap, because you've said where you want to go before in the past. So what do you think of that? Tell me where I'm wrong.
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
You can.
I can't really, because that's what I'm struggling with, trying to figure out. Is it fear of taking that leap, and or is it the money? Because my wife just recently lost her job, and we're both, you know, trying to figure out what our next move is going to be on the financial status, where jobs come from and where income's coming. And then when we saw the $20,000, it was a pretty big, like, okay, wait a minute. Is this smart right now? Is this practical right now? You know, that type of conversation was going on. So, and it's not like I don't feel like I could make the leap. It's just I'm not sure if it's the right time right now to do this when we're both out of work and we're both trying to find our next way and find our way in the marketplace.
Yeah, totally. So what if I were to create a scenario? So imagine this, David. Imagine that you sold your house privately. There were no realtor fees. It sold for even more than you were expecting. How would you feel about taking the next step if that were true? Just imagine.
It feels good. but I still feel like I would still have that little bit of doubt in my head as to where it's going to be and where we're going.
Yeah, say more about that.
I guess just probably being just fearful of taking that step into the unknown of we're not sure where we're going. Why don't we just go to different places and test out and see where we are and see what feels right. Probably a little bit of fear of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
but it's also a financial, but it's also a financial thing when you're talking about, you know, transporting your goods to other states and either having them stored until you figure out what you're going to do, renting places and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I were to take my magic wand again and say that it wasn't going to cost you a dime, everything was going to go so smoothly, it would blow your mind, literally blow your mind.
Okay.
So that magic wand, private sale, no realtor fees, shipping costs taken care of, everything taken care of.
Okay.
Is there still that fear there?
Probably not. Because really what you've done is you've taken away most of the excuses.
So if all of those things disappeared, just playing with this for a minute, just imagining that all of, you know, those circumstances, all that stuff, the list of things to do, the finances, it all disappeared for a moment. If that was all taken care of, what would be the next step? None of those little details.
Yep. What would be the next step?
Mm-hmm.
Is location. Where would we end up? Trying to figure that out. Where would we go?
Mm-hmm. And have you and your wife dialed it down to the, you know, top three or, you know, the
we've got yeah we've got some target areas. We have had some target areas, but generally we usually find a reason for not to, whether it's too hot for our dog or whether it's, you know, something like that. There will be something that's kind of not quite there. So it feels like we haven't quite landed on the spot yet.
Mm.
Where we're willing to take that leap to go to just test the waters and see what's up.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, but I'm not even sure about my actual hunch, but I'm going to say something anyways. But so I kind of have a hunch that there's maybe some sort of painful or fearful thought that's holding you back from really stepping into, you know, with both feet where it might be. It's almost like you're stopping yourself before you get there. Like, this might not be perfect or this might not be perfect. So if underneath all of this, do you know what the painful thought might be, or do you know what the fear is? If I just ask point blank?
Probably just fear of the unknown. Fear of not having the answers or having it laid out in front of me.
Yeah.
Like I'm used to.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to just understand I'm like a 666 and a 3 quick start. So there you go. Takes me a lot to get going as far as, like, jumping in. I'm just not going to be one to go, oh, that sounds like a great idea, let's do it. I'm like, hold on. Let me go do a little research first on the areas that we're talking about and all of those type of things before I just, oh, let's just do this.
You need a lot of research to back it up and to be certain that you're going in the right direction. And yet, you've just said that fear of the unknown and fear of not having all of the answers might be holding you back. I wonder, I have a hunch that there won't ever be enough answers to sort of settle your mind. Tell me where I'm at.
Bingo. That could be a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good possibility. Because I am such a fact finder, and you know, I could go on for ever finding, you know, but the other thing is too, I feel like I could talk myself out of just about anything if I really wanted to.
Did you say you could talk yourself out of anything?
I know. Yes, for the most
part. I could
see
that about you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So how are you going to talk yourself into this, one of the greatest dreams of your life?
With your help.
Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I don't know if we want to go the direction. I hate to be aware of the time, but I am aware of the time. We have 10 minutes.
Sure.
I don't know if we want to go in the direction. Yeah, I don't know if we want to go in the direction of working the thought of something about this, you know, not having all of the answers, fear of the unknown, one of those thoughts. Bev, do we have time? Should I go for it anyways? Or that would be my next move. Sorry, David.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
no, sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead? Okay.
Yes, go ahead. Why not?
Okay.
We'll go 2 minutes over, and if those of you that have to leave at the half hour, we'll probably go 5 minutes over or so.
Okay, whatever you think. That's fine.
You're
now. I'm game.
Yeah. Yes, why not try just to do a little bit on that one? You might not get to a turnaround, but it'd be great to just go through the thought stuff.
Okay. So just help me out here. I'll say a few that I feel like we're kind of on the verge of, but help me with the wording or correct me if I'm wrong at all. So I've got sort of in bold here, fear of the unknown and fear of not having the answers. So something about, you know, needing all of the answers before you make the next move, or not being able to move until you know everything, or
that would be more of it. It wouldn't be more of the unknown. It's more of the just not having all the answers or having all my ducks in a row before I, like, set out on the journey.
Yeah.
So the thought just came up. He just said, I have to have all my ducks in a row.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I would have just played with language, and I don't want to waste time, so I appreciate that. Okay, I have to have all my, I'm just quickly writing this down, ducks in a row. And what was the last part, before I make a move?
Or just, I have to have all my ducks in a row.
Okay, just that. Okay, perfect. All right, my dear. So, David, I have to have all my ducks in a row. Is that true?
It feels like it's true, but as a coach, I know it's not quite true. So, yep, no.
Yeah, okay. So just take a second and close your eyes if they're not already, and just take a breath and get to that deeper place in you.
Okay.
That place where you know something to be true.
Yep, got it.
Okay, and now answer the question again. I have to have all my ducks in a row. Can you absolutely know that this is true?
No, I cannot.
Okay, beautiful. So I have to have all of my ducks in a row. How do you react? What happens when you believe this thought?
It usually brings some sort of stress, some sort of tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm having that thought that I absolutely have to have all my ducks in a row before I can do something. It's uncomfortable. It's an uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Brings on tension and stress.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel in your body? Where do you feel that stress or tension?
Solar plexus area. Definitely in the core area where your stomach kind of tightens up a bit and mm-hmm. just feel that, like, uneasy, queasy kind of like, something's not quite right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's the emotion associated with that, would you say? In the solar plexus, stomach area, uneasy, uncomfortable. If you had to name it with an emotion, how does it feel?
Tight.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you're feeling this sad, tight, uneasy feeling, the tension in your solar plexus stomach mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. how do you treat yourself?
Well, I usually get quiet. I usually kind of go within and I'm just very, like, unaware of my surroundings, more self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you lose yourself, that sense of soul, that presence? Would you say you kind
for
of
sure.
lost?
For
yeah.
sure. That's what's the uncomfortable part. It's just not me. It's really not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we go there sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just before we move on, I just want to reflect that back to you. So mm-hmm. when you're having the thought, I have to have all of my ducks in a row, it creates all of this stress in your body. But more importantly, you just said, it's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that to be true for you too. It's just, there's a part of you that's so much deeper. And that's
mm-hmm.
the part that, you know, shows up a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, you're doing beautifully. Okay, let's move on. So I have to have all of my ducks in a row. I'll use your language from another time, I think you said. So imagine we wave our magic wand and you go off into a magical world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this thought does not exist. You're in some beautiful fantasy magical land. And
yep.
the thought, I have to have all my ducks in a row, it's not part of this world. Who would you be without that thought?
Free. Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Free to do whatever. Free to be
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Just lighter. Just more vibrant and more energy and ready to take on the world.
Mm-hmm. And if you were in this place, I have to have all my ducks in a row, doesn't exist. You're still in this magical fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
Describe where you would be. You're free. You're light. You're more vibrant. You're energetic. You're ready to take on the world. Where do you see yourself?
Definitely, probably just wherever. Wherever life happens to take us and being okay with just jumping through those hoops and just going and seeing what the world is all about and having that life experience to just not know and being okay with that and just moving in whatever direction, whatever the river flows and staying with the flow and not fighting against the current.
Beautiful. Not fighting against the current, being with the flow. Lovely. Thank you.
I'm going to jump in, Heather. Maybe we can
turn around
it now. Yeah, no, I think the turnaround that's something he can do afterwards, and you might want to continue on doing your turnarounds afterwards. But just going to this point is just, it's like a nice flow right here that we can leave it if that works for you, Heather, and for you, David.
Okay.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might want to do the turnarounds after, but it just felt like we're at the shift, and so the turnarounds just take a little bit longer. But it's also fun to leave them in that spot for a moment of freedom and going where life takes you. Like, it just seems like a really great spot.
Yeah, I love his last few comments, like being with the flow, not fighting against the current, being okay with the unknown.
Yep.
It was all like, oh! I want to be there too!
I mean, that's generally where I try to get to, but yeah, every so often life throws a curveball and you gotta coach your way out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the, I'll get you to David to give Heather some feedback, but I just wanted to mention, I love the question that Heather asked, how are you going to talk yourself into this, one of the greatest dreams of your life? And he said, well, you're getting healthy. I didn't.
Isn't that what we're here for? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I adore Heather, and I love working with her, and she's just, I feel she's phenomenal, and she just goes with the flow, and she's just very warm and energetic and just has a great sense about herself where you feel very comfortable as a client coming to her that you can just about tell her anything.
Yeah, that really comes across.
Thank you, David.
Yep, my pleasure.
Heather, what about you? What do you think worked well? What do you like about how you coach? Is there anything that you didn't like?
Well, I think David is such a fun client. I mean, it's always a pleasure to chat with David. And I was actually quite excited that this was the topic that came up for him, because I know from the past, from other calls, that this is a dream for him, and it kind of felt like an honor to be part of it. I really felt sort of, honored really is the word, to just be able to share in some of his process to achieving his dream, because I guess I feel like I know it's going to happen, and I'm just excited to be part of the journey.
Love it. So just in terms of looking at the squares, what square were you coaching David around?
Oh, good Lord. I have no clue. I'll have to think. Well, it's not square one, I don't think, because do you want me to talk this through? I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not much of a thinker.
I know. Neither am I. Sorry.
It's embarrassing to say. It might have been two or three.
Yeah, you were doing square two. You were doing square two. Imagine, and then you saw what blocked him.
Right.
And so that's what you were doing. You were just taking him slightly further than he was.
Mm.
So you did, and that works really well. So you did a number of different scenarios where you presented all the scenarios without the fear. Imagine it privately, no realtor. Imagine all those details are taken care of. What happened? Imagine. That's what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were helping him to get in touch with his heart and soul without the worries. And then going back to the thought helped to sort of dissolve that thought, which it would be great for him to work with him a little bit after to do turnarounds on that thought. But it's just the truth of who he is, staying in that place that he was describing without the thought. So yeah, he did sort of square two with two-ish coaching, which is
right.
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah, good to know.
So I'll just give you some feedback here. You did a great job. You're really, really, just exactly like what David said, really easy and present and fun, you know, really listening and asking questions. And I love the fact that you used the knowledge that you have about David, because it brings it further, right? It brings it, you've discussed it before. I loved how you brought that in a really natural way. As I said, I loved the imagine stuff that you did with him to have him feel without the presence of the fear. There was a part here where you had a really nice silence. Like, I think you were thinking, and that worked really well. So it was after you said the magic, what you said, you're going to wave your magic wand again, and there's not, I can't read my own writing, but anyway, it's a private sale. Is there fear there? And he sort of said, probably not, or something like that. And you had a period of silence, which I really liked. So there's like this comfortable silence. Sometimes when people are coaching, they think they have to be talking all the time, and they don't. And even if you're taking time to think of it or to feel into it, it was very safe. So I thought that was great. Really great job. Great job, Heather.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really stayed with him. And David, you were, you know, super honest, and it was fun. You know, it's fun to laugh. That's what I think. It's fun to laugh when you're coaching. It always is. It kind of, because sometimes you're dealing with these big fears that keep you up at night and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes when you just sort of look at it from another perspective, and it just gets funny, and that helps to break it all up too. So, great. We had two great sessions. Thank you, everybody. Those of you that are listening too. Thank you. So next week we don't have a class. You have a national holiday. I am in Canada, so actually I have one earlier than you. So we'll be back together in 2 weeks. So I think if there are people that want to volunteer for in 2 weeks, and I know that I kind of volunteered Rachel, so that would be really great. Just people who haven't coached, please volunteer ahead of time, or even to get coached. We always need people to get coached. And if there's no volunteers from the people who haven't coached, those of you that have coached, go for it. You can volunteer too. I don't want to penalize you either. So have a great 2 weeks, everybody. And we'll talk in a couple weeks. If you've got any questions, any thoughts, please post on the, you know, our discussion forum. And you guys are doing great. Really, really amazing.
Thanks, Bev.
Thanks, Bev.
Thanks, Bev.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.